Many of you have been here in years gone by, and we just give you an extra special warm welcome because you know this is a special Sunday. And this is Brian and Tamina and the Sharps family last Sunday with Elam. And after 18 years of ministry, we want to celebrate and thank God for that. Now, it's going to be a little bit different. So let me just kind of walk through a little bit what's going to happen. We're going to have a normal worship set here as we praise the Lord, as Elam loves to do. And then we have a special, a tribute to Brian. And we want to invite you all into that. Then Brian will come up and speak for his last time here. Let's close our eyes. Lord, truly, as we began this service, you are a God who has done great things. And you have blessed Elam with good people who have loved you and have sought to serve you with all their hearts. And Brian and Tamina have been two of those. And Lord, it's a little bit sad saying goodbye, closing a chapter. But Lord, we look forward to sending some of Elam's DNA to Colorado Springs. And may you bless their ministry in a new venue. And meanwhile, Lord, you have not left us. We give you all of our worship, all of our praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning and welcome. I wrote everything down because I walk up two stairs and I'm like, I can't remember anything I was going to say. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Bethany, and I'm one of the 10 youth leaders who is currently working under Brian. I was elected to speak on behalf of them today. They were all like, nope, not going to be me. So I get this lucky privilege. But I also have a unique perspective. I, along with Julie and Greg, were here when Brian first came to ministry 18 years ago as teenagers in his youth program. And 18 years later, we are all serving with him in youth ministry. So you could say we probably know him well. We know all about his senior trip to the British Virgin Islands. We know all about all of his stories. He's said them often, and yet we still always sit intrigued and excited to learn from him. But we also know his heart, and his heart is good. And we have been so excited to just get to learn from him. And as hard as it is for us as youth leaders to say goodbye, we are excited for you guys and the work that God has for you in Colorado Springs. And we wanted to spend this service really highlighting Brian and Tamina and just what they've meant to us and what they've meant to so many families and so many people within Elam. So when I was thinking of what to say today, the biggest thing that stood out to me was the growth and transformation. When Brian first came into youth group 18 years ago, he knew everything. Well, at least he thought he did. He was loud New Yorker, in-your-face personality. He had just come out of school and was excited and prepared to put all of that head knowledge into practice. He was fun and was ready to hit the ground running in making relationships with students, including myself. Brian and I often joke that we had a love-hate relationship, and there were many of times where we did not like each other. On reflection, I think the problem that was that when I was 13, I also knew everything. But I'm very happy to let you guys know that we've both learned that we know nothing, and thank God that he is good. No, really, though, it's been really such a privilege to watch God transform Brian's heart. Brian is still passionate and somewhat loud, but he has truly humbled himself and wants to be more like Jesus. I've watched him put the hard work in towards transformation and allowing God to change his heart, and it's been such a blessing to be able to witness the power of God in someone's life and just watch him transform throughout the years. I'm so proud to be a part of his youth program that he has created, and I truly think that it's worth highlighting today. Our youth group is unlike most. Brian has created an environment where students can come and be vulnerable in a safe place. He has invested in and established leaders, including myself and my husband, who want to invest and walk beside those teens in their lives and be healthy, trusted adults who can point them to Jesus. In a world where brokenness is shattering people and shattering families and is straying from the gospel more every generation, to me, there is nothing that I would want more than to have people beside myself who I can partner with to invest in my children, to know Jesus, and to want to become more like him. Over the last month, the youth leaders have put together a list of about 180 people that we could think of who came regularly in Brian's youth ministry over the last 18 years. And we called a lot of them and tried to get as many as we could here today to close out this last day with Brian in our ministry. I'd like to kind of see if you have been in youth ministry under Brian, if you were a teenager in youth ministry here at Elam, would you please stand? And Brian has probably had, I don't even know, like he has 10 youth leaders right now. I can count 10, 15 more. If you have ever served with Brian in youth ministry, could you please stand? You have such a tremendous impact in this church, and you have fed into so many of us leaders and so many students, and I know that because of your work, you have transformed lives. We are so thankful for you. I can't look at you, Tamina. Tamina, though, gotta read this. We know that Brian could not have done any of this without you, and we are so thankful for how much you have participated in youth ministry, and you have supported him throughout his ministry. We calculated that Brian spent an average of 24 nights a year away from his family on retreats. In his time as youth pastor, he's had over 800 Sunday night youth groups. He's had over 200 events, and all of that is time away from his family. So Tamina, we know that you're the true superhero in supporting him, being a phone call away. I can't tell you how many times that's rescued us youth leaders to have you to come just take all of the stuff off of his head and let him process when he was frustrated or upset and just help get his head on right. We know that you had so much impact in this ministry as well. And I have a couple of people lined up that we have asked to speak today. One of those is Becca Pasek. I don't know where she is. There she is. So here we go.
All right, I'm trying not to look at Tamina as I give the speech. I've got tissue shoved in my pocket, and I'm up here all by myself. It's weird. Most of the time there's people here, and I'm like, hey. Tamina Sharp, my sweet friend. I've known you for 18 years, and you've been my mentor for just over 9 years. I was a creep and went on Facebook. And if you know me, I'm a Facebook creep. I will stalk each and every single one of you. I know all your details. And so I went to our Facebook timeline and just reading just how much effort she has put into ministry and into me. My first memory of Tamina Sharp is in Creation 2002 when she made a t-shirt that said, "Help, I'm married to a youth pastor." and I believe her first memory of me is when We were meeting, I believe, at the South Hill Mall, and the youth students were able to meet the prospective youth pastor and his wife. And all Tamina could think of, will this girl ever be quiet? And the answer is, no, I won't be. I'm still here, up here talking. But over the years, she has taught me the value of patience, kindness, and gentleness. And I know she would try to deny that she's good at any of those things, but if we all know her, and we know she is. She's patient, she's kind, she's gentle. She's cheering for us in the corners, giving us hugs, and I love Tamina. Who doesn't love Tamina? Tamina, you've done so much stuff in the sidelines. I think of the hours and hours that you students have stayed at your house till 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, and you guys sacrificed that time. That's including Brian. I'm like, do you guys even go to bed? But just thinking of the amount of love and effort and investment you guys do is truly impactful on so many levels. And then Tamina has also taught me the art of grace and apologizing, mainly because as we met, she was graciously waiting for me to apologize for whatever stupid thing came out of my mouth. Or if you're anybody here, I've probably apologized to you because of Tamina's prompting, telling me you need to grow up, which has been great to grow alongside her. Other things about Tamina is that she introduced me to Mario Party. I never knew about that game. Her famous chocolate chip cookies, her pet rabbit. I don't know if many of you knew that. She had a pet rabbit when she came here, but she did. And her couponing days, that hot dogs are not good in the dryer, and the time that she tried to rescue a cat and it bit her in the finger and she had to go get shots for that. And the other thing she taught me was that what was supposed to be just back pain during one of her pregnancies was actually a serious blood clot. And that made a huge impact in my life. Her strength and grace during that time gave me the courage to have strength and grace during my hard time, during my chemo treatment, of trusting God when we don't really know what's next. And I think that's the most valuable thing about Brian and Tamina. As they show us, trusting God when we don't know what's next is one of the best things we can do, because he's always faithful, and he has given us the faithfulness of Brian and Tamina to show how faithful he is. Hopefully that made sense, what I just said. Tamina came to my home during chemo and cleaned it. She brought me flowers. She's a sideline person. I don't think people realize how much of an asset that is to have somebody always there, faithful. She is a beautiful mother to 5 beautiful children. All of her children hold a special place in my heart. And I have a collection of stories I'd love to share, but I can't because I have to share this mic with other people. I know this next adventure for her is going to be filled with so many new experiences, and I know Tamina will create deep and meaningful relationships there. They may be leaving Puyallup, but their legacy isn't going anywhere. Your legacy is going to continue, just as your ministry always has, and that's spreading the grace, the gospel of God. Okay, thanks. And I think Andrew Amos has something to say. See, I'm alone here on the stage crying. It's so weird.
Thank you, Becca. Good morning, church. What I have to say is just thanks. No, I do want to share more than just that. I want to share some nice things about Brian, a quick, fun story, and an exhortation for him. Brian was a pastor when I was in the youth group from about 2008 to 2013. And during that time, Brian had a mostly positive effect on my life. He knows I'm kidding. I turned out great. In all seriousness, Brian spoke a lot of truth into not just my life, but the people around me and my classmates, and I will always remember and appreciate that. It takes a special person to work in youth ministries, and it should be a testament to Brian's character that you were in that position for so long. Not only could you work with teenagers, but you could work so well with people of all age groups. I'm confident that you will make an excellent pastor at Northview EFC. Now for a fun story. It was difficult for me to find a story that would have embarrassed Brian and simultaneously not embarrass me. At first I thought, I get to roast Brian. And then I thought, better not. Instead, I'll share with you this time. There was a group of men from the youth group, including Brian, obviously. He was our leader. We were in Utah for some reason or another. We visited there quite a bit. And we decided to go on a run together. And on that run, we ended up stopping at a McDonald's because, you know, this is America. And after enjoying some ice cream from McDonald's, we decided to run back. Naturally, after that, the results of the extreme agitation of running and a stomach full of ice cream led to some expected results. I'll spare the details for the faint of heart, but you know darn well what happened. It was a great trip. It's one of my favorites. Let's get back on track. Here are some verses to exhort and encourage you. Matthew 28:18-20 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always until the end of the age.'" Additionally, Philippians 4:4-7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Thank you, Brian, for the work you did here. Now go and do likewise in Northview. Now I believe we are going to watch a slideshow containing some highlights from Brian's time here. Please enjoy.
I just want to say you all suck. Are you allowed to say that as a pastor? Whew. We'll see. We will see. I had to go outside several times just to catch some fresh air. The highlights are awesome. I think just seeing all the baptisms were so meaningful. I feel like that's a little like a Facebook timeline, though, or an Instagram story, where you get all the highlights, but you don't get to see the whole picture, the whole story. Because as much as there are highlights, man, there were just some tough times. Students that I would walk through life with and spend tons of time with, and they'd walk away from the faith, and I would sit here and I would mourn. And when I got into ministry, I never understood mourning. And I just remember just times of just sitting and mourning, watching students make decisions that weren't honoring to God. And having to figure out, what does this look like? How do I do this? And that humbling, Beth, is that idea that, man, we can do this. And then watching students fall on their face, being like, I know nothing. So one of the things I had to learn how to do is mourn. And I had to learn how to fight. Because there were just times I just didn't want to get out of bed. As much as there were these times where someone had put a TV in my office, because, you know, my office ends up being the catch-all for everything. At one point, the youth leaders are going to have a game, what's in Brian's office, take pictures and try and figure out what actually was in Brian's office. And we had someone left a TV, and I'm like, I don't want this TV. So we made a fun game out of it, and a bunch of us high school leaders and high schoolers were parading around the parking lot with a TV over our heads and throwing it into the dumpster, and it was a great, fun thing. And Martin came and said, "Well, Brian, did you plug that in to make sure it didn't work?" We had fun, though. So as much as we had so much fun, there was also the other side of it. The times where we'd have a graduating class, they would go, And then the youth group would be like, wait, who's going to lead? Who's going to step up? Who's going to be the people that are going to take the mantle? Because we can't do it as youth leaders. And there would be mourning over these long periods of just great ministry, and then you're just not sure what ministry is going to look like going forward. I remember talking to my mentor about that, Jim, and I said, Jim, like, there's been like 7-10 years of just faithful ministry, and I don't know what it's going to look like going forward. And he said, Brian, ministry is like surfing. You get on the board, you paddle out, you ride the wave in. When it's done, you paddle back out, and you wait again for the next wave. And it's like, oh. But again, learning how to fight the urge to say, I don't know that I have the energy to do this anymore. Cody Joy was born November 12th, 2012. 4 days later, got a text message from Nathan Amos. Pray for Jacoby, she just got in an accident. Tamina and I got in the car. My parents happened to be in town. Spent the next several days up in Seattle, staying at her parents and going to Harborview over and over again. And watching Jacoby get wheeled from the emergency room up to the ICU, sitting with Jason and Gretchen in the surgery center in the waiting room there because they weren't sure she was going to make it through the night. Just sitting there with them and walking through that with them was one of the toughest experiences of my life. And I just remember after a little bit, it was at the end of November, laying in bed saying, I don't want to get up. I've got nothing. Lord, I've got nothing to give. Like, just pleading on the Lord, pleading with the Lord to heal Jacoby, that she would walk again, and not knowing what was going to happen, and feeling so out of control, I had nothing. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't change it. And as someone who likes to be in control, who likes to try and change things, who likes to try and make things right, I had nothing. And I remember sitting there in bed, laying there saying, all right, I have to choose to fight, but it's not going to be today. So I chose a date, I think it was December 1st, and I said, all right, December 1st, I'm going to fight. December 1st came, and I said, all right, I'm going to fight. And we hit it. There's just been so many times in my ministry, in my life, where I have to choose to fight. But it's not fight for me. It's fight for what's right and doing the things that God wants us to do, God wants me to do. And that's much where we find ourselves. We find ourselves in a situation where we have to choose to fight because in a lot of ways, a lot of us feel like, man, I don't know. This isn't what I saw coming. This wasn't what necessarily I wanted. This isn't necessarily, like, what's going to happen to Elam? What's going to, and all these questions. And we have to choose to fight. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Verse 9, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. I find that in transition is where we stop fighting. We give ourselves the freedom to just not have the energy anymore. We give ourselves the freedom to say, I guess it doesn't matter. In Galatians here, Paul's saying, hey, no, don't stop fighting for doing what's right. What you sow, you will reap. And we need to fight for the right things, and we need to focus on the right things, especially to those in the family of faith. So what does it look like for us to fight for the right things? What does it look like for us? Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the house of faith. What does that mean for us? It means we be present. It means we be present. We need each other. Yeah, my wife and I are moving on, but we still need you guys. But as much as we need you, Elam needs you to be present with one another. We may not like everything that goes on, but that's not what we're here for. It isn't about us. It's about what God wants to do in and through us with each other. So my first challenge to you is, hey, let's fight for the right things. Let's never get tired doing what is right. And when we have the opportunity, just lift up those in the community of faith. So we need to be present with each other. We need to be here and investing in one another. I grew up watching the Rocky movies. I don't like boxing, but I really like Rocky. And we were on the plane on the way to Colorado Springs this week, and I saw the movie Creed 2. It's like, hey, I saw Creed 1. I know it's all about Rocky, but I felt really like I was a kid again when I watched Creed 1, so I'm going to watch Creed 2. What I didn't know is Creed 2 was basically a redo of Rocky 4, where the son of Ivan Drago, who's the guy who Rocky fought in Russia, it was his son was going to fight Apollo Creed, who died to Ivan Drago. They were going to fight. And so there's this time where the main character, Creed, goes and fights Ivan Drago without Rocky's help, and he gets demolished. Well, then he goes back and he has to fight him again, and with Rocky's help, he starts to train. And Rocky takes him out in the middle of nowhere, into the desert, in the middle of nowhere, and starts to train him. And one of the scenes you see is this desert road where Rocky's in a Mustang, and Creed is running behind him, and he is just struggling to keep up because it's hot. He's tired. He's been training hard. And at one point, they show him running, and he falls. And Rocky stays in the car, and he looks back, and all you hear him say is, just get up, get up, just get up. And you see the main character just lay there, and lay there, and lay there. And all of a sudden, he gets up, and he starts to run. And that's kind of the hinge moment in his training. All of a sudden, it shows him working really hard. Well, he gets into the fight with Drago, and there's a point where he gets knocked down, and all you hear is, get up, just get up. Get up. And he gets up. He ends up, I'm not going to ruin the movie for you. But that's so much of us. Ready? That ability to fight. Like, we are on a race, right? The scriptures talk all the time that we're on this race, that we're in this fight. Philippians 3 says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, but I have already reached, or that I've already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So it's this idea that Paul wants to run, and he's going to run hard. And if he falls down because he's tired and he's not sure what it looks like, he's going to run the race, and he's going to get up, and he's going to keep running. Because he's focused on the goal. And the goal isn't happiness here. The goal is one day being with Jesus, knowing that he ran well. So my second thing is that I want us to run towards Jesus and bring everyone along with us that we can. Because that's what this life is about. It's not about my happiness. It's not about my wealth. It's not about my friends. It's not about how I feel. It's about pursuing Christ and bringing as many people along with us. Because this Christian life isn't meant to be lived on our own. Rocky helped Creed get up by being present in his life and by encouraging him. We are here for one another to help each other get up when we fall, when things aren't the way that we want them to be, when we're not excited about the future, when we're not sure. We're here together, being present together to help each other run the race that's focused on Christ, not what I want, not what I think. Because here's what we know is true. Life changes. Things change. But our pursuit does it. And that pursuit is Christ, honoring Christ, focused on Christ, living for Christ, and bringing everyone along with that we can. See, what happens is when we go through transition, and this happens graduating high school, graduating college, getting a new job, moving, getting married, having kids. Like every transition, there's a point where we have to choose to say, no matter what, whether I like it or not, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to choose to honor Christ. I'm going to fight for what's right. I'm not going to get tired of doing good. And I'm going to run this race. And I'm going to run it fast. And I'm going to run it hard. And I'm going to run it with others because I want to honor the Lord. What derails us from that is our own selfishness. When we try and run alone, it's sin. When we get selfish, it's sin. When we argue and fight over the color of the carpet or what programs or no programs or what the parking lot looks like, what the bath, like when we fight about those things, it's sin because it's not focused on the right things. The right thing is, who cares about what the building looks like? We want it to look nice because we want to represent Christ, but we want to focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The one who's called us from darkness, who's taken us from our life of sin and given us righteousness through him because of his death, and we get to run closer to him, and one day we get to be with him, and when we're with him, all this won't matter. So what's the legacy you want to leave? I have the opportunity of working with so many people, and God gave me this opportunity, and I'm humbled. I'm absolutely humbled by how many students have gone through. I mean, I look at some of those highlights. Oh, I had a lot of fun. You guys wish you had as much fun in life as I did. But it wasn't all happy, easy. It wasn't all I was even-keeled and level-headed. What's the legacy you're going to choose to leave? And what's the legacy that we're going to let Elam leave? Elam's been here for 135 plus years. You have an opportunity of shaping the future of what Elam looks like. Elam's best years are ahead of it. Why? Because God is in control. Elam isn't Elam because Martin and I were here. Elam is Elam because of who you are and what God is doing in and through you. So this isn't the end of a story. This is an end of a period. In a paragraph of a story that's much greater. And the rest of it isn't written. And we have an opportunity of reaching South Hill and beyond in ways that we can't even fathom at this point. And how exciting is the future? How exciting is that? Now, we're leaving. But hopefully we've taught enough of what God wants that you will keep running in our place. My first ministry, I was at Lancaster Bible College, and I was going to school to become a teacher, and I hated it, but I was doing youth ministry at this small Grace Brethren church, and I loved it. The pastor's son was Danny Cosentino. Danny and I spent a ton of time together my first year there because Tamina was in Michigan. Well, Tamina moved to Pennsylvania, and we got married, and I spent a whole lot more time with her than him, and he didn't like that. There were times where cat poop or dog poop were left under our front seat of our car. He was hoping it would stink, but it was dried out, so it didn't. There were times where we would show up at our house and he'd be sitting on our couch eating chips, watching TV, and we're like, Danny once told me, Brian, I'm smarter than you. I know more about theology than you. All right, whatever, dude. Well, after he graduated, or I left halfway through his senior year, he graduated. I hadn't heard from him in years. I got a Facebook message from him several years ago now, apologizing for several things, because he went into youth ministry. I hope he had some Danny Cosentinos. The message said, "But Brian, I wanted you to know this. Today I baptized 30 plus students, and you had a direct influence on every single one of them. I never stepped foot in Ohio where he was, but the influence I had, he took to others. The influence I have here, I hope doesn't end today. Just like the influence that the disciple Christ had on the disciples to here we are today. This is the great thing about the church, is it's a large family headed in the same direction, and that direction should be focused on Christ. Not growing tired of doing what's right, and that's easy to do, but surrounding ourselves with other followers that will help point us in that direction so that we can run focused on Him, focused on becoming like Him, and bringing as many people along with us. Guys, thank you for the ride. This has been an amazing church. From people that sit on the sidelines, not because they're not engaged, but that's how God wired them, and I'm thankful for people on the sidelines. I'm thankful for people that spend time praying. Marilyn Nelson helped out in youth ministry early on, and she has been nothing but a prayer warrior since. I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for all my youth leaders who have run hard and put up with tired, grumpy Brian. Students, you deserved it. And I'm just so thankful, and I'm grateful, and I'm excited. And Tamina and I will be watching from afar, but also all of Tamina's family's here. We're excited to be able to come back and see Elam thriving because of your guys' influence, because of what God is doing in and through you and how He's using you to reach South Hill and beyond. Let's pray. Father, your grace is enough. It is sufficient for all that we need. Father, you are at work in ways that we don't even understand, and we humbly surrender to you and say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask you, Lord, just to continue to work. Father, for those who need encouragement, God, I pray that they would be encouraged. For those who need a kick in the pants, I pray that you would do that too. But in all, Father, I pray that we would surrender our lives to you, recognizing that you are in control, that you are God, you are King of the universe. And we have the privilege of serving you, loving you, and honoring you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.